is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Chris Plunkett. I am your host. Excuse me. It's a Tuesday. It's a little drizzly out there. This is a Disaster Recovery Hour. And like I said, I'm the host. I'm in the disaster recovery business with property damage, and which includes fires and floods and structural issues and numerous other things. And what's happening out there in the world with Mother Nature, I'm very very aware of it. It's my line of business. And also, I look for ways and solutions and the things that are applicable to our neck of the woods, you know, not tsunamis or earthquakes, at least not here on the East Coast. But I'm very much in touch with all the things that are happening, a couple of days ago with the tornadoes down in, I got a couple of brothers down in North Carolina, but they were unaffected, thank God. I was away for a week. I was finishing up an academy down south. And getting some more accreditations and some other letters at the end of my name and so on and so forth. It's very, very important nowadays because a lot of guys that are in the business, they're not well educated, and they think, sucking water up and throwing a couple of DUs in a building or it's going to mitigate the damage, and it's just not the case anymore. It's no hocus pocus. It's a real science. So if you do unfortunately have an incident out there with your home or your business, make sure the guys they're certified and they can show the IDs that verify that they are educated in a certain field of drying and fire removal and odor removal and things like that. Like I said, those tornadoes are my thoughts go out to those people. Some of the guys in my academy live in Mississippi. They're very busy, and thank God their families were unaffected, but their neighbors were. And so I touched base with them, and I've actually never seen, never been to a tornado area after it's touched down. I've done the closest I came was with the hurricanes down in Florida, about 6 years ago, something like that. And the aftermath is it's pretty devastating, but the tornadoes are it's in and out real quick, and that's I don't know what Mother Nature's which is worse, the looming hurricane or bam, here I am, I'm going to rip apart a neighborhood in 30 seconds. So like I said, the wishes go out to the people that are affected down there, and hopefully they're getting moving in the right direction. And obviously with Mother Nature, there are some deaths, and like I said, just a little shout out to my buddy Tommy McCarver and Chris Scribner. They're both Mississippi guys, and they're in the industry just like I am. They were in my academy. We were in the our class. I don't know what class it was. It was like 2007 or something like that. That was the class number. it's an interesting process, and again, in the industry, it's really coming down to a science of handling these disasters. So with that said, there's excuse me, I did catch a cold when I was away. I usually don't catch colds, but I do have one working right now. We also have in our neck of the woods, we had flooding again, the Ramapo and the Passaic, those guys got hit again, watching the news. I can't imagine. I can't imagine living in those neighborhoods. I feel for those people. I'm coming in from the outside and trying to do the best I can to assist them on a physical and a psychological standpoint. Because there's a lot of emotion when your property's torn apart or fully non-restorable and damaged, and you get piles of debris out in front of your house. I can sympathize to a degree because I've had a couple of floods in my own home, and I think I said it a couple of times. My wife wasn't very pleased with that, considering I didn't address my own issues for a couple of weeks, both times. if you guys wanted, any questions, you can go to we have numerous avenues you can contact us at. There's the 1-800-962-1160 number. That's the phone number here at the station. And then there's also the drhradio.net. You can go to that. You can listen to us. There's a link there to listen to us live. Also with the twitter.com and facebook.com. Both are followed by /drhradio. That's drhradio. Like I said, there's a couple of questions in from last week we'll get to at the end of the show that I didn't address. I know Paul and I ran a little long last week. That was Paul Faust from 1-800-PREPARE.com. I know there was a question on there about kits. This guy's got some great stuff, and you should check. There's a link off my website to his website, and these kits are for being prepared. And they're very, you know, they vary in sizes and the amounts and the different tools, if you will, that are inside those kits. It's not Armageddon. It's not, that's not what the kits are all about. You know, we're not looking for doomsday. We're, you know, we're looking for preparedness and getting people to, you know, think a little forward instead of reacting when after the disaster or the emergency happens. So, you know, spending some time, you know, also with the, why I talked about it tons of times about having that with the right phone numbers and exit strategies and location areas that you want to meet. So, excuse me. So, the kits are, like I said, take a peek at that. It's real good stuff. I got a couple of guests calling in today. There's two gentlemen. There is Jim Arnott and Steve Neary, and they are from the World Association of Natural Disaster Awareness and Assistance. There's a lot of organizations out here, like this. I'm fortunate because the social media has really enlightened me. After the Haiti earthquake, when I became very friendly with Paul Wagner and Paul Sebring, if you remember a couple weeks ago, Paul Wagner was on the show talking about his continuing efforts down in Haiti. And these gentlemen are, like I said, it's the World Association of these disasters, and they're trying to help a lot of different areas. And right now, their primary focus through some of their literature, their website, is with Japan. They've done some nice work in a very short period of time. We're gonna fire them up. I think they're on the line, and we're gonna jump in. And then we'll get a little introduction. And so, guys, you're on the line.
Yeah, we sure are. It's Jim here.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Okay, Chris.
Chris, this is Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Now, you guys are in sunny Florida right now.
Sunny Florida. It's getting hot already. Mm-hmm. Summer is coming, but I'm not one to complain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it's not. I'm a seasonal guy. I like all four seasons. After those hurricanes down in Florida. You know, when it was in September, it was still 95 degrees. That was crazy. But so, guys, the organization. Let's get some background on it. Get the listeners jacked up, and we'll roll from there. So, Steve, Jim, roll.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's funny that you mentioned the Haiti earthquake, because really, it's the Haiti earthquake that really spawned WANDA. We call it, as in short, South Florida. We've lived with hurricanes for forever. But the hurricanes give us several days of preparing, and you know it's coming. And I think after the Haiti earthquake, I think South Florida went completely into a state of shock of that an earthquake could happen that close to us.
Right.
So it was kind of our business in hearing the people around us, the shock and awe of what if South Florida had an earthquake. And just seeing the overall surprise and panic that actually really spawned Steve and I to kind of go through a creative process of coming up with something that we can do to give back, and do it truly in a charitable way. Our organization, we got it going. We're small. We're not taking any salaries. Everything, as opposed to some of the bigger charities with big bureaucracy and large salaries, etc. Pretty much. I would say we're into the 90% realm of every dollar that comes in goes back out to where we show that we're going in.
Yeah, and I mean, through the last year since the earthquake and getting to know other guys who were with NGOs, non-government organizations, over the world, I met a couple of guys. excuse me, I keep on got that consistent cough going. Giesli, who was from Iceland, he's a part of a disaster world preparedness also. There's a lot of cross reference here with the Haiti. I don't know if you guys had a chance to take a look at Paul Wagner's website, MMRC Haiti. And there's also Paul Sebring. He's got his MMRC Global. These guys are still do, you know, they're not working together any longer. One is continuing in Haiti, and the other is doing some South America work. However, it's amazing, you know, because in the news all you get is the bad stuff, you know. There's guys and organizations like yourselves that don't get enough ink, and it's actually a shame. But I guess it doesn't sell the papers, right?
Yeah, and Chris, it's interesting to touch on what Jim said a little bit. To get the bad news out of the way, Jim and I each independently own car dealerships in South Florida. So now that everybody knows we're car dealers, they may like us a little bit less. But aside from that, we really did. Unfortunately, sometimes things hit a little close to home, and that's only then when sometimes guys like myself might wake up and realize that this is a little strange, and then maybe the birth of a child or what have you. But you start to take these things personal and close, and it's not only yourself or your family that you value. You know, Jim and I are very much people. We want to take good care of people. I don't like to see anybody suffering, and it's pretty amazing how when we got involved with this together several years back and decided to do this for others, how many people are affected by such minor things, let alone major things. And
right.
I know that you, when you started this show, Chris, you touched on these tornadoes, that you have some friends and colleagues that were even in the areas. And I'll tell you, it's pretty amazing with these tragedies. I think what are we already at, Chris? You probably know the numbers better than I do. I think that there's preliminarily 267
right.
Tornadoes, but I guess it's more like 250 in reality. But the record is 270 for April.
Yeah, it's that was I was watching it with my daughter, and I'm like, oh my God, they're with the videos are just. You just don't get it. Yeah, if you're not there, you don't get it. And when I was in Tennessee last month with my continuing education, a tornado rolled through town in Memphis, and it picked up wrought iron lawn furniture like kitty sticks. It was
mm-hmm.
amazing,
mm-hmm.
and that was on the peripheral. That was about miles away from it. That's
mm-hmm.
that's
and it's just amazing to me if we the people that are listening right now to just think about this for a moment. And not that everybody's always in a giving mood or have to give to other people or what about me. Everybody is struggling right now, whether
right.
it's just with their job or their existing comfortable home with heat and hot water and everything. But 500 homes destroyed in North Carolina, 500 homes gone, and 1,000 were damaged, but 500 homes gone.
Right.
The families, and that's what Jim and I are. These people need our help, and aside from the situation with Haiti that we're dealing with, which is overwhelming, and Japan, which is more than overwhelming, we're trying to we're just a couple of guys that are just trying to get our resources together, and now we've got to figure out where to get to in the Carolinas that North Carolina that got severely damaged, and get some resources there right away for these families, and that's what we're all about, really.
Yeah, the show is on Sunday night. Then the guy comes in; he's from the Home Improvement show, and they do a family. I can't watch the program because every time I watch, I cry. It's amazing. So, but when you talk about smaller things, it's almost you can equate it to like one vote. One vote does matter.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of elections. If everyone said, I'm not going to vote, 10,000 people are going to vote. But
mm-hmm.
so if you helping the one family, and that's why I love being in the business that I'm in. Granted, I'm in business, and I got bills to pay and things to
mm-hmm.
do, and so on and so forth, just like yourself. But someone has a minor flood in their house or a little grease fire in their kitchen. Nothing crazy, nothing earth shattering. But you know what? That's theirs. That's their stuff. So
that's right. That's right.
If I can do, it sounds a little corny, the old Boy Scout routine, but if I could help them, I feel better at the end of the day. I really do. So I come to the door, I don't mind wearing the red cape. I don't mind that tag, and that sounds like, you guys have the same, one person at a time. It's to add to that, a lot of people don't understand that there's a process to become a nonprofit. People just don't say, hey, I'm a nonprofit, hang a shingle, donate money, and there's no traction or checks and balances, if you will. It's a process, let's talk about Haiti. What some of the things you're doing in Haiti, then we'll shoot over to Japan. And then again, not cavalierly shoot over to Japan, but because again, some of the guys that I've had on the show are doing work in Haiti. There's Wave Place Foundation, which is teaching. If you guys just joined us, this is the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, Tuesdays between 1 and 2, WVNJ AM 1160, The Voice. Guys, we'll go to a break, and let's talk about Haiti, and then we'll go for another thing, okay?
Got it.
Thanks, guys.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
Katie Valentine's UFO show. Watching strange visitors that come and go. The UFO show with Katie Valentine. We're gonna travel through space and rocket through time. Exploring what is possible, examining what is logical.
Are we really out here all alone? Find out on the UFO Show with Kate Valentine, Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
In the early hours after the tsunamis, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
And we're back. It's a Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. I'm speaking with Jim Arnett and Steve Neary. They are from the World Association of Natural Disaster Awareness and Assistance. Guys, before we went to the break, I just want to prep you on the talk a little bit about the Haiti thing and talk a little bit about Japan. But I know you have a very large plan in a good movement for here in the States. And you know, because sometimes if you talk about other people's problems, other countries and so on, people kind of get a little tuned off, you know. But because I'm interested because there's a lot of guys that I know down there who from America that are doing work in Haiti. So what's some of the to touch on some of the things that you guys are doing down there for the education.
Well, I'll tell you, Chris, it's funny that you say that, because when we started this, you know, we went for the world because there's so much going on all over the world, and of course America is just the big brother to the world. So we wanted to not focus just on America, so we went world, and then we spent 3 weeks of being completely overwhelmed as we started to pay attention to the natural disasters going on around the world. I mean, we could name something that we won't see on the nightly news every day, avalanche, a landslide, a tremor. I mean, we started to educate ourselves and learn the number of earthquakes that actually goes on a daily basis. Now, they might be 1.2 and no one felt them, but irregardless, the earth is moving. So we went for the big picture, and then we got overwhelmed, and we realized that we need to pick our battles, so to speak. So, of course, this all came to fruition recently after the Haiti. So as soon as we could get up and running, and actually we did, surprisingly, we've we've gotten our designation very quickly. Our consultants that we used to put in the applications were very surprised, and essentially everything came back that, hey, guys, you're doing something in a way that other people, that doesn't exist out there, especially our education base. Mm-hmm. So right out of the gate, we were on the Haiti topic. We got a bunch of supplies over. We threw friends, contacts, because you got to remember the Haitian population in South Florida is incredible. Mm. So it's actually, I mean, I can go to two branches of our bank within 5 minutes of here, and there is someone I actually have on my dealership. I have two customers that actually lost their mother in Haiti. So what happened was it was very easy for us to get what I'll term as the neighborhood contacts. And it enabled us to quickly do some soul searching, get some funding, which in the first 8 to 9 months was basically funded by Steve and I personally, because we refused to sit around and do nothing. Mm-hmm. We got a bunch of supplies over, and then it developed into we have an on-running fundraiser, Books for Haiti, because it's just a lot of our stuff is child based. It's just if we can teach our children how to survive and what to do in a natural disaster, guess what? When they're 18, 20, 35, 43, they already know.
Right.
And Steve having a 1.5-year-old boy, me having a 3-year-old daughter, as we were doing this, kids were on our mind. And it just, I'm not sure if you're a father, Chris, but when you become a father, I personally can't even read the stories about children strategies anymore. It just pulls the heartstrings so much. So.
Yeah, I have an 8 and 11-year-old, and my wife's a school teacher, and there was an article in the paper a couple of months ago about one of the local towns, and the principal wanted to teach the kids about preparedness for disasters. And I thought that was fantastic, and it's opened up a couple of doors for me for talking and getting some first responders. And by the way, the Superman comment, I knew I shouldn't have said it. My sister texted me back, says, "Oh, okay, Mr. Superman." So let's just get rid of that right away, because I'm definitely
not. Yeah, but hang on. There's a lot of people out there that aren't willing to put on the cape. So you know what? I'm going to give it back to you.
So the principal, and these were kindergartens, pre-Ks to I think third grade or something like that, and I said, you know what? I was watching a show the other day. Children can do a lot of things. I think I don't think parents give enough. They don't delegate enough to kids. And I think kids like to get empowered. That's the way I look at it. Because unfortunately, when my sister and I lived with my mom after my parents split up, we did chores. At a very, very early age. So the kids are capable. But I'm not going to go down that bandwagon. But continue what you were saying, but I was just talking about, the kids know how to do things, and I think teaching them, instead of just, play with this or play with that, and it's real life stuff, so they feel kind of like an adult. That's my opinion.
Well, I'll give you that too. I mean, like I said, we started in the kind of one of our major programs is education. We started with kids, and when you dive into something like this, just like when you create a business and you think of a business plan, you think big and then you slowly talk yourself into a target market. So we've always said kids, and we were talking about high school, college level, blah, blah, blah. And as our kids have gotten to the point where you're starting to get some reaction, we're really now, the education program that we're trying to put together now is actually a small book series. And I'm talking targeted to 2-year-olds through 7-year-olds, like read-along books, simple cartoon-like, one lesson per small book. I basically took the idea from my daughter's shelves of toys and a little carry box with 6 little Disney stories inside the carry box, and we're developing a series like that with very simple lessons about natural disasters. And the reason why is that just shy of 2 years old, I'll tell you a quick story of how it started and how we got targeted. That I'm floating in the pool with my what was then 2-year-old daughter, and here comes a black cloud. And I said to her, "Black cloud, no pool. We got to get out of the pool. We got out of the pool." 2 weeks later, I never said it to her again. 2 weeks later, my wife calls me and says, "You'll never believe what Caitlin just did." I'm like, "What?" She goes, "She forced us to get out of the pool because dark cloud, no pool."
Man, that's cool. That is very
so
cool.
That therein was the birth of our first lesson and our first book, and that's what it's developed out, and that kind of helped us target to, guess what, if a 2-year-old child, and of course you have to, for lack of a better term, you have to dummy it down to to simple that where they can understand it.
Right.
So that's kind of our focus. So when you carry that over and you watch what happened in Haiti and you've got schools destroyed, and you know, the bottom line is we have to get these children back to learning. You can't have them doing anything. And that's really why one of our main focuses that continues now is getting school books over there. These kids need to get back to being educated, whether it's in a classroom or not.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if you just joined us, it's the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. On the phone, I have Jim Arnett and Steve Neary. And these guys, they've formed the World Association of Natural Disaster and Awareness and Assistance. It's a nonprofit and doing some work down in Haiti. You know what? If you guys take a look at my website, and you can touch base with Paul Wagner. He's with MMRC Haiti. You can get some contact off my website for him because he's on the construction end, and he's going to be hooked up because also with the producer of the show, his brother-in-law is down with Wave Place Foundation.
Not to interrupt, Chris. Yeah. I definitely we will do that because Jim and I just last week were talking about dedicating some very light construction vehicles getting them there and working with a couple of construction companies. A couple of Jim customers own a small construction company that's going to start doing a little bit of the same thing, and we're gonna be working with getting some equipment over there through Wanda. So I will definitely look him up on your site, and we'll get with him.
Yeah, you know, good people getting together. It's you know, making it happen. So let's talk a little bit about Japan. I know you guys did some fundraising. You got some good traction there. We'll touch a little bit about that.
That was obviously something that is just so overwhelming, even for me at this point. Unfortunately, I was going through a pretty busy work time the past couple of months, and it led me to leave Jim dealing with a lot of that. But obviously, I was in the loop. Wanda, our organization, really teamed up. Jim did a great job with teaming up with some different type of websites that are out there and communicating with thousands of people. And we raised a good chunk of money, just basically people donating from $1 to $15. We raised about $14,000 off of, and you know, on one hand it doesn't seem like a lot of money, but it was pretty interesting for Jim to spend hours on putting some of these programs together so people could read about the items that we were trying to send to Japan and where we were trying to get them, and clean clothing, clean new towels. I mean, it's pretty amazing the things that Jim has learned that these people need terribly right now. And we raised $14,000 from a bunch of complete strangers, at an average of maybe $4 or $5 a pop. It's a lot of people throwing money to help, and it just goes to show you that the silver lining is in the way that these organizations like Wanda and people that fund Wanda give back and get the assistance to where it's needed to be. But we are struggling to react quickly and in a timely manner to deal with a lot of different things that get thrown at us every day, meaning different items needed for different regions, different locations, different towns. It's pretty amazing. It's overwhelming. $14,000 isn't going to be but a couple of our shipments of these products. Some of these products that I mentioned to you, and others, painkillers, things like this. So we're really struggling to get our feet wet, so to speak, over there. Pardon the pun. We are really desperately seeking not to use our airtime, and I'm not. But we are in a very serious cash crunch, trying to get these people crates of pain medication so they can stop swelling, and headaches and pain, and they need snack foods, and I'll let Jim interject some of that.
Chris, just not to, again, one thing that we have to keep in mind, small organizations like ours don't have the luxury of getting access to some of the newest technology, which is changing the world of fundraising. Text to donate. I don't know what the number to date is, but I know that the Red Cross, since Japan, is well over the $1 million range. It might be into the two with text to donate. Well, text to donate is limited by the cell phone carriers to organizations. It's either $1 million annual income or $500,000 income.
Oh, wow.
So little guys like us don't even have access to that technology. Chase Community Giving, who, of course, you're talking about the social media, Chase Community Giving last year, I believe it was $25 million that got away, and they gave away to charities, and they allowed the Facebook users to vote for who got it. Well, guess what? You can't even be a charity in that to get votes if you don't bring in $1 million annually. So, like what Steve said, here we are 2 to 3 weeks that we scraped up from just awesome people, primarily through the CrowdRise social website for fundraising, just shy of $14,000. And you got to think about that. A small organization like ours that doesn't have access to the latest trend in technology, I mean, that $14,000 has to be equivalent of about $500,000 for the Red Cross, who has access to that stuff.
I'm not saying that to
beat our own drum. I'm more kind of saying it that it's a shame that, you know, the little guys. And we're not the only one out there. You've mentioned some in Haiti. I mean, the little guys that are actually truly, this isn't a career path. We're not making salaries off this. We're truly doing this because it needs to be done. Somebody needs to do it. And unfortunately, the small guys, you know, open that technology to the small guys, and guess what? We may be a $2 million organization, and you'll see a lot of happy people out there.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it just makes our lives tougher. And I don't say that to kind of beat our drum or to say, oh, woe is me, because you know what? We're going to keep going.
You know, I agree, because that's what the Paul Wagner and the Paul Sebring, that's what they ran into. You know, they were there, they wanted to do good. But you know, we'll pick up that. Let's go to a commercial break, and be right back with the guys, Jim and Steve, and we'll keep on rocking and rolling.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. CPP is the answer. CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, their seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, they've got answers. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least 1 in 4 businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room, talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to Ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated. A full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
Hey, welcome back. This is Chris Plunkett, Disaster Recovery Hour. If you want to contact us, there's a phone number. It's 800-962-1160. Again, that's 800-962-1160 if you want to ask Jim or Steve any kind of questions. And also there's the drhradio.net. That's the website that has a link to the show. Also, there's twitter.com and facebook.com, and both are followed by /drhradio on either side of those. Guys, let's talk about the home front. What kind of traction is Wanda making, just recently and before?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the biggest things that we've learned is that, to do what we need to do, you can't always rely on people opening their checkbook. So there's so much time that needs to be spent that we've been spending trying to partner with companies. You know, the biggest thing that happens when in disaster relief, of course, my own opinion, of course, is so much to do with corporate sponsorship. And whether it's corporate sponsorship of financially or corporate sponsorship of product. And so there's just so much time. But, you know, what has happened is that we've gotten a small following, compared to when people rattle off names of who they're going to write their check to immediately when something happens, guess what? Wanda isn't there first for a large percentage, unfortunately.
Right.
But we're getting some traction. We're getting some proof of our performance, and that's really kind of giving us some legitimate stories to tell, and we're getting some good reactions.
And to follow up with that, Chris, not to steal your thunder, to follow up with what Jim was saying, is to mimic the Red Cross, but in a very, very, very small, powerful, very adaptable way. We hope within 12 months' time, if we're talking to you again, and there's God forbid another tornado or something. Where we need assistance, we're going to have a couple of vans. We're going to have those vans pretty much constantly stocked with medical products, water, the initial things that when your house is no longer there at 4 a.m. and you're standing there at 7 a.m. at first light, staring at your house, wondering what you're going to do with yourself. We also want to be there with water and bandages and things to get you to your next step. We have some recent negotiations with solar powered power trailers where we're going to be producing working with the production of some solar power production panels where maybe we can for each small little corner of a neighborhood we could have one of these things which will supply power to a refrigerator and some lamps and some things where kids can at least have some semblance of life still without being completely turned upside down if there aren't any shelters close by or what have you. So we're really it's a large effort. It's a lot going on. In 12 months time we'll have a lot more to report to you, but we're here, and we're trying to make people notice us, and that leads me to that comment that before we went for your last commercial break, there was some talk on the fact that the little guys aren't getting the needed support from some of the larger financial institutions and other larger organizations, and I'm not their products. I use their banking and all of it, and they've been very good to me, but I just wish that some of their policies, or if somebody listening, maybe is working for one of these financial institutions, could understand what we're saying is that, they can't write Wanda a $250,000 check right now to help their local communities. It has to go to the big players, and I think that unfortunately that's a little disturbing and a little sad, because Our money matters. You know, when we get our money, we turn it into immediate assistance, and that's important that everybody knows that.
Yeah, I excuse me. It is there's got to be some kind of red tape cutting of to get guys like yourself and the other guys, the smaller NGOs and nonprofits to navigate to get the the good deed should be warranted along
the lines. And you know, we it's funny because we, just like everybody else, we see the money, and I'm not picking on the Red Cross. It's just, guess what, like every other educated American, uneducated American, Red Cross is the first name that pops in your head when you're thinking of disaster relief. But you know, you see how much goes, and then inevitably 4 to 6 months after, you're still going to read a story of criticizing the distribution of the money. When
right.
we started this, we swore to God that we would never, in any situation, whether we brought in $14,000 or $14 million, we would never put ourselves in a position where we had that happen. We wanted to stay the neighborhood. We're the neighbor. And we're the neighbor of you handing you whatever help you need, whether you're right here in our own country, whether you're in Haiti, Japan, no matter where you are. And so that's one of the things that we've really concentrated on. And perfect example is the Japan. We just threw the CrowdRise site actually yesterday or today. Our check showed up from that network, and that money is probably going to be turned into 3 to 4 pallets of needed supplies for Japan, batteries, wipies, diapers, cold medicine, and we'll be on a plane and landing in Tokyo, hopefully with a couple of volunteers from here going with it, as well as teaming up with some volunteers over there, and distributed probably within 10 days, 14 days tops. So, you know, the small guys don't have the bureaucracy that means that we have to log in the check, we have to have a vote of what we're doing, and it's just a shame that we don't get access to the big money, because, you know, we're working towards, and our small business marketing prowess knows that, guess what, one of the guys going over is a videographer, and we're going to come back and we're going to show that proof, because that's the problem. A lot of times people just wonder what happened to their money because they don't know.
Right, right. You know, I interviewed a guy from the Red Cross, Charles Maltaby, real good guy, and it was, you know, it's kind of a shame. And here's a guy who's passionate about his job, but it's big, and those are the people are saying, you know, I gave to the Red Cross, where's the money? It's a big organization. There's distribution is tough. So
well, and they have big overhead.
Yeah,
you got to remember,
big
business is big business. It's a charity, but it's big business. So, you know, it's just like everything else. It's kind of like how quickly Steve or I are in our little car dealerships can make a decision and write a check compared to getting that done in Citrix.
Right. Yeah. No. I completely agree. And it was one of his challenges of that again that. That misnomer or whatever of the reality of it, of being in a big business. You know, if anybody want to call in, it's 800-962-1160 to, you know, ask Jim or Steve a question. Sometimes we get hit a lot. Sometimes we don't get hit a lot, guys, but doesn't mean we're not going to still rock and roll. The other contacts are, like I said, you know, this is one of those things with the radio you constantly repeat. It's drhradio.net, and it's twitter.com and facebook.com followed by /drhradio. So, guys, moving forward, your businessmen, you forecasting the same as you treating this like a business, but not on the profit end of it, but are you forecasting where you want to be in 12 months, like you said before?
I'm gunning for a couple of large charitable donations from maybe a little bit of private and a little bit of some industries as well. I'm gunning for, you know, our you know, sometimes our eyes are bigger than our stomach. We have a couple of projects that Jim and I really want to push for. We've got to get some equipment to Haiti. We've got to get a lot of product to Japan. I'm gunning for, you know, by the end of 2011 alone, I'd like to say that we've pulled in another $300,000. You know, we pulled in $300,000, and we can really get serious, get a little more serious about all of this, and get this money working. So, you know, it's only uphill from here. I mean, we've scratched the surface. Nobody knows about us. I'm hoping they do. I'm hoping that a few of our good deeds will get seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only hoping they get seen just for that reason, so we can continue to react and help. That's what it's all about. I really do hope that if anybody wants to take a peek at our site, it's wanda.org with two A's, wanda.org. See if, you know, if anybody has any interest in getting involved with what we're working on or what have you. But we appreciate a dollar. We appreciate anything. And we appreciate also what you do. You know, Jim and I quickly, you know, being busy as you are and everything, we quickly learned a little bit about what you do and things like that. And, you know, what you do alone, I mean, you have a world of knowledge that we could prey on a little bit and learn from. So you yourself are just really well-versed in these things and understand that it's just unbelievable from, you know, a house collapsing in a tornado, being torn apart in a tornado, to you know, the 2-year-old daughter that is affected by that, and there's just so much, it's overwhelming.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. We're gonna go to a commercial break. I got some questions from some listeners for you guys. So stick around, and we'll be right back.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Money is all dried up, and the work is all gone. Don't want to go to the mailbox, don't want to answer the phone. Did I mention my baby left me? They're foreclosing on my home.
Attorney Michael Guidreau is the cure for your bankruptcy blues. With a bankruptcy success rate of nearly 100%, Michael Guidreau is an expert in bankruptcy, credit card settlement, and loan modification. For a consultation, call 201-837-7777. 201-837-7777. Call today and get rid of your bankruptcy blues.
At least 1 in 4 businesses affected by a disaster never reopen. Let me repeat, at least 1 in 4 businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have 5 new messages.
Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that Stan proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Received dispatch, truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47, heavy fire showing from the 9th floor, second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
And we're back, final stretch down to the show. I got a couple of questions on the webpage for you guys. One's from Jamie, and Jamie says, "Did Jim and Steve travel to these disasters in person, gentlemen?"
What's that? I'm sorry. What's that?
I'm sorry. It was a question from Jamie, and she was asking if either one of you actually traveled to disaster areas in person.
We, you know what, we've done some localized stuff. Neither of us, in our two primary things that we've had going on since our inception, mm-hmm. Haiti and Japan, we personally have not landed on the ground there as of yet. And it's just been more because, you know, it's like playing the armchair quarterback.
Sure.
This kind of stuff, we end up with some volunteers, and we're just more valuable here coordinating right now than actually walking the streets. There's no doubt about it that we have a huge desire to be there, press and flesh with the people that need it.
Mm-hmm.
And we will when we get to that point. But right now it's just our best spent time is continuing to communicate with the people that are donating and supporting our causes, and the coordination as an armchair quarterback to get stuff dropped to other volunteers who are handling it with us for us very, very well. We're getting great feedback. It just seems more valuable for us to be in that position at this point in time.
I agree, and it's one of the things that over the course of the last year of getting to know guys in NGOs and nonprofits is the administrative end. It is huge. It's you know, like there's an ops guy, and there's a guy who's got to run the back office, and it eats
up time. It's overwhelming.
Yeah,
and you know, as you know, we're doing this radio show, and then you have to go earn a living. It's you know, it's funny because you get overwhelmed, and in the first week after the Japan earthquake and tsunami, like Steve says, Steve was doing some traveling, and it was, I mean, I woke up from a blur of Jeff fundraising for Japan and coordinating, you know, 5 days later going, wait a minute, I have a car dealership that I need to pay some attention to because my mortgage is coming due next week.
Right.
And it's just, you get sucked in. But you know what, I guess when it's in your blood, it's in your blood. And,
yeah,
and we're humanitarians at heart. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing this, I guess. And, you know, that's you just kind of do what you got to do. And
yeah.
if I'm working on my books for my dealership at 11:30 at night on my laptop at home after everybody's gone to bed because the day was spent phone calls coordinating shipping, you know, Delta Airlines for this package going here and there, then that's the way we do it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And some of the times when I deal with the larger, this last month when we had the flooding up here, there's a lot of people who were uninsured, and you know what, I couldn't walk away from that. we can pick up that. I got some more questions. I got one from Rosie. It says, as an individual, I prefer donating to little guys. Keep up the good work. It sounds like you guys really care. And Rosie, that is going to be from, you know, Wanda. Jim, what's the website? So I don't say it
wrong. It's wanda.org. WANDAA.ORG.
That's okay. Now it's really starting to kick in here. We have one from Karen. It says, Chris, you always have great organizations on the show. I feel more comfortable donating to the orgs that come forward and talk about their missions. I've been following your Haiti people. Haiti people feel like I know them, and these guys sound wonderful today. Hope to hear more from them. And you will, Karen. I'm very blessed with the show and the people I've met, and the people have the same. I mean, grant you, I'm in business to make money, but I'm also, I get to do the right thing. You know, sometimes do I make mistakes? Of course I do. No one's fallible.
Listen, I'll tell you what, just to key in on that, not to interrupt you, when we were bringing this together, and Steve and I spent plenty of time on the golf course bouncing the name was very important. I mean, we're businessmen. We're,
yeah.
You know, it's a charity, but it's a business. It definitely is, and you have to be detailed, and you have to get it together. And I got to tell you, one of the main focuses, and Steve will cut in here, and he doesn't need to because I know he's the same way. We both feel that this is an organization that I hope with all my heart outlives me and my children.
Yeah,
I hope it's an organization that is around for the next 100 years. If it becomes comparable in size to the Red Cross, I hope it does. It would be wonderful. It's something that we're not, this is not something, you know, it the way that we look at it is we're doing something good that is needed that helps. And you know what? I hope that that organization stays together. I hope our children run it when we're gone, and I hope it gets passed on to their children. I hope that it gets the traction that Wanda is around doing these kind of things for a long, long time. Because until the world completely comes to an end, there's going to be people in need from natural disasters. We can't control it. We can't stop it. It's the one thing that man cannot control or stop. We can only react.
Right, right, right. And unfortunately, we're having more natural disasters than ever. It's keeping us, keeping the Wandas busy and myself busy, and getting the message out about being prepared, and we're trying to mitigate further damage afterwards and where you can go to get help. Another question is from Jerry. Have they run into a lot of red tape in delivering products/goods and services to Haiti? I think you guys touched on that before, like some of my other guys with the red tape have you, I know there's a lot of stuff sitting down at the ports down in Haiti. Have you experienced that issue also?
Well, I tell you what, it's funny because when you get it down into the people and the volunteers and people that live there, it makes things a whole lot easier when you can drop something through. You know, you gotta cross your T's and dot your I's. So you mm-hmm. gotta have a proper inventory of what's wrapped up in that pallet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're gonna open it up, but if you do it properly, it can be done. And if you have a volunteer on the other end who's a good representative and you got it going to that person, it's a whole lot easier than having it go in and sit in customs and then it's waiting for a Wanda representative. So in a lot of respects, being small probably cuts some of that red tape. Mm-hmm. You know what? We pay more. I'm not going to lie to you. It cost me probably more than it cost the Red Cross to send something to Japan because we're smaller, you know, and we're not dealing in a volume issue. But, you know, so there's pros and cons to being small. I think it kind of lets us slip under the red tape more than have to stand there and wait for somebody else to cut it.
On the website, does it give the locations of you know, let's just use the South, you know, Mississippi and Carolina getting crushed with the tornadoes? I would there be information say, hey, the dollars go in this direction, the dollars go in that direction? Is it a breakdown
actually,
like that?
Interesting you say that, and it might segue into something else. But another comment. Yes, we as more resources come in, we will be able to spend more time on it. Our website is going to be a very, very interesting tool that Jim and I are very excited about having up and fully, you know, to our liking in 3 to 9 months' time. And that includes early warning systems in place where people can actually go to our website and see pretty much instantly some proprietary software that we're working on, which will allow people to get to our website, and in a matter of a couple months, you would be able to go to our website and see an amazing amount of daily natural disasters, large and small, that we don't even know about,
right?
And that nobody even hears about, whether it be a terrible snowstorm that has wreaked havoc in parts of Germany, and ruined some families and some towns and some villages, or you know, a tsunami that has destroyed a large portion of Japan. We are, yes, and in that respect, I would hope that with that we have the availability for people to see what just happened. To give a little discussion on Oklahoma, Virginia, North Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, okay, about what just happened, you know, last Thursday through Saturday, and allow people to say, hey, you know, I'm interested in sending some funds this way, and that's important to us, and that should be done.
Yeah, guys, I appreciate it. It was a great show. I was very happy. I'm glad to have met you over the airways.
Thank you, Chris. It's
the Wanda.org.
It's Wanda.org, WANDAA.org.
Excellent. Gentlemen, how about a little refresher next month? You know, 15, 20 minutes, okay with you?
Absolutely. Chris, you know how to get a hold of me. We'd love to come on anytime and give you an update of what's going on. And I appreciate the opportunity to come on here.
Pleasure's mine.
I love the feedback of your listeners.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Take care of yourselves.